Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that great? It's great news. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful announcement. And you as a congregation, let the Lord fill you with anticipation and excitement as you await the arrival of your new pastors. I know there has to be a vote. Your leadership team have worked hard and prayed hard, and you have prayed hard, and God has revealed himself. And we're trusting that there's going to be a loud amen to this process. And your pastors will be here soon to lead you in the next chapter of what God is going to do. God is still working, right? He's still speaking. He's still reaching. And he has something prepared special for you. Now, Phil said this has been, you know, a longer process than we had anticipated. And it seemed like maybe the enemy of the church didn't want this to happen. And your committee, your leaders were wondering, what's going on here? Because this particular couple, they had a hard time even getting here. Three times, the weather turned them away. And they said, well, does that mean this is the wrong ones? This isn't the ones. We shouldn't even consider them. But they persisted, said, no, we felt like we ought to, this is one we ought to look at. They persisted, and the potters didn't give up either. They could have said, well, maybe God doesn't, but they said, seems like God is leading. God is directing. So, we're excited for you and for them. And you continue to pray that God will continue to speak in the hearts of the potters, speak in your hearts, and there will be this sense of, thus saith the Lord, God has chosen. God has directed. And we'll be able to move on with that sense of confirmation. Praise the Lord. This seems just a little hot. I'm getting, maybe it's just me, but I'm just feeling a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. You know, with all the new technology that we have, even this thing, this is a marvelous, this is the nicest wireless microphone I've used. God bless you for having this good, you know, I've had the other kind, you know, the first lapel type mics, we had wires that we had to, you know, it was always getting in between my legs and around, and I was doing this kind of thing with it. And it was a big thing, you know, and big thing here. Then we went to wireless handheld mics and smaller ones of these, but you still had this battery pack on you. This thing here really works nice. And your team does a good job. And they're to be commended. If you can help them in that, you can serve the Lord in that way. But, you know, all this technology that we have, this is really a small computer. And now they have them, you can get them on the wearable things they're talking about. You can get them on, and it's like Dick Tracy. And it's all this technology. Do you ever get confused by all this stuff out there? I know, you know, you get my age, it's tough. These kids, they grow up with it. They if I ever get confused, I call my grandkids. I can't get this thing to work. They tell me how to do it. But emails, blogs, and texting and Skype and Facebook and FaceTime and Twitter and iPod. And it's amazing. In fact, my wife and I don't even have a hard line? Landline. We don't even have that in our house anymore. We just have these things. I didn't know if we'd be able to get, because we used to have phones all over the house. And now I got to make sure I have this with me. If I leave it on my desk, like I did last night, and I noticed this morning there's a couple of voicemail that came in because I didn't have it in my pocket, evidently, and they called. They say now that anywhere from 10 to 25% depending on where you're at, don't have. How many of you have a landline in your house now? Well, still, you're a pretty good percentage, still have it. How many don't? Yeah. You know what? You can save about 25 bucks a month if you get rid of that thing, if you have one of these, of course. But it's changing, and in some nations they've skipped right over the landlines. They've skipped right over that generation. The first phone some nations say the first phone is a cell phone. And you see those countries, they don't have any landlines, they don't have any phones in their house, but everybody's got one of these things. Skipped right over it. And you have cameras on these things, and you can watch TV programs on it and movies on it, and you can get on the internet and the calendar. I don't even have a calendar anymore. It's all in here. It's amazing. Emails and blogging and texting, Skype, instant messaging, Twitter. Why would anybody think I would care that they're standing in some line? But some people are twittering and tweeting, and I don't even know all the words anymore. They go so fast. And they'll tell you everything they're doing in the day. I mean, they're on that thing all the time. Oh, I'm standing in the bank line now waiting to cash my check. Who cares? They think I care. They're telling me all the thoughts they have in their mind. As if I should care. It's a minute by minute, play by play, thought by thought broadcast. It seems like Facebook and Twitter is the modern day diary. Only back in the day, the diary was secret. It was between me and my diary. I never had one, but people who had one, you know, they recorded their daily experience, their thoughts, their emotions. Well, today they're doing the same thing, but they are telling the whole world about it. It's amazing. And I keep getting messages on these things. Someone wanted me to be their friend. I feel bad when I don't answer back and say, yeah. People who I haven't seen since high school, all of a sudden they want to be my friend. They weren't my friends then. Now they think I should be their friend. And I should be a follower. Someone says, I have 1 million followers. Wow, that's pretty impressive. There's also a special language or shorthand for texting. I keep telling my wife, you don't have to spell out all the words. You don't have to go in sentences and paragraphs and make sure your punctuation and you don't have to do that anymore. You know, kids today, they won't know how to write a letter because they use all of that shorthand text messaging kind of stuff. And they have a shorthand for LOL. I don't even know what LOL is. What is that? What? Laughing out loud. Oh, yeah, now I remember. Yeah. And they have all these letters. And I have to try to, when I get some of those messages, I have to try to figure out what is that? What does that mean? How do you learn it? Where's a book for all those abbreviations and shorthand? Instant communication around the world. Around the world. You can send an instant message or a text, and it can literally go around the world like that, right now. I'll get a beep or some kind of signal on my phone, and I'll look, and it's somebody from the other side of the world with a message for me. And it didn't take months or weeks or days or hours like that. Unbelievable. If I'd have told my father and my mother that that would happen someday, I said, no way. Never going to happen. Instant information. We can be traveling in the car, and I can be talking to one of my grandkids. I say something about something, and they're on there, and as quickly as before the conversation is over, they've got an answer. They've got the information. We can be sitting in a board meeting, and Phil or Tim will get up, and instantly they've got information. They've gone to Google or something, and right away, instantly, they can tell you about it. They can give you the information, the facts. Wow. It's amazing. But you know what? It's not all that new. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we're going to start reading with verse 19. John 5, 19. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sin, but they have already passed from death to life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself and has granted that same life-giving power to his Son, and has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when the dead in the graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. Jesus said he was always in communication with the Father. How many of you know something about the story of Mark Buntain? Missionary to Calcutta, India, built the great mission there mission of mercy. It's a marvelous story, and I can't tell you all, only to say this, that Mark Buntaine is one of the great missionary heroes. He's with the Lord now. They live just down the block from Mother Teresa, and they were often guests in each other's homes. And Mother Teresa said, "I get all the press and publicity, but Mark and Huldah Buntaine are doing all the work." I had the privilege of hosting Mark Buntaine at our church when I pastored in Des Moines. And I picked him up at the airport to take him to the hotel that he was going to be staying at, to dinner, to church. And if I asked him some questions or attempted to get into a conversation with him, he would talk with me. But I almost felt like I was interrupting him. Because the moment he sat down in the car, he was talking to the Lord. I mean, it wasn't like prayer. It was like conversation. You just sensed he was talking to the Lord. It wasn't anything put on. You know, I just this week, in fact, I was talking to another pastor friend of mine, and we got to talking, and I don't know how we got on Mark Buntaine, but he said, "You know what, Mark?" And he said the very same thing I'm telling you that he experienced. He was just in communication with the Lord. I'd never met anybody quite like that. Amazing. Jesus said that he was always in communication with the Father. While on earth, as Jesus, the Father was showing him what he was doing, what the Father was doing, so that the Son could do the same thing. Jesus said, "I do what the Father shows me to do." He said, "These words that I speak, they're not my words, but they're the words of my Father. The works that I do, they're not my works, but they're the works of my Father." But remember that Jesus was always seeking to hear from the Father. He would get up early in the morning and get in the prayer. He would even send people away, and he would withdraw to spend time with the Father. He'd spend a whole night. Then he would go and do the great miracles. He was always positioning himself to see and hear from the Father, humbling himself, submitting himself, denying himself. Philippians 2 says, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Think of yourself the way Jesus thought of himself. Even though he was equal with God, he did not think so much of himself that he clung to the advantages of his status. He set aside the privileges of being the Son of God, and he took on the status of a slave. A human being, having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredible, humbling process. He didn't claim any special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death, the worst kind of death, crucifixion. I was quoting the Message Bible from Philippians 2. Today, God is seeking friends and followers. He wants to communicate to them his thoughts, his ideas, his words, his works. God was the first to blog, to communicate his thoughts and his ideas. The Word of God is his blog. You name the subject and God has something to say about all of the important issues of life. One day he spoke to the crowd, and he, in his message to the crowd, he talked about the laying down of your life, the picking up of your cross. And by the time the message was over, many of the crowd had dispersed. And he looked to his disciples and he said, "Will you also leave?" And Peter, in one of his finest moments, said, "Where should we go? You have the words of life." For the real important issues of life, you need not Google. Instead, you can go to God and to His Word. He said, "If you lack wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it to you abundantly." He's been on Facebook since the beginning of time. You know what? I have in my phone the ability to do FaceTime. Imagine that. I can call those, they have the same type of phone and technology, and I can call them, and their face in real time will come on. And they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them. Not a picture of me, but me. FaceTime. Well, that's not new. Because Jesus said about Moses, he said, "He's a friend of mine. He's found favor in my sight. And we speak together face to face like friends speak to friends." Think of that. Wow. He's been on Facebook since the beginning. He said we could seek his face and find. The psalmist said, "I sought for the Lord and I found him. I cried out to the Lord and he heard me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He delivered me out of all of my trouble." Men like Abraham, Moses, Noah, Enoch were on his list of friends, and he communicated to and revealed his plans and his thoughts. He said about Moses, about the time he was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "Before I do that, shouldn't I tell my friend what I'm going to do?" He was the first to Twitter. To those who were on his list of followers, he was constantly telling them his thoughts. Do you know that you are always in his thoughts? There's never a moment of time, never a moment of time in all your days that you're not in the thoughts of God. And according to his word, his thoughts concerning you are wonderful thoughts about your future, prosperous and good thoughts. Wouldn't you like to know his thoughts about you and about your future? He wants to reveal them to you. It's not a secret. He wants to communicate his thoughts to you. It says in the Word of God, the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. How often I have gotten out of step with God. He had a path for me over here. And why am I way over here? He said to Elijah, remember after Mount Carmel? And that great victory on Mount Carmel? The prophets of Baal were slain. Rain was falling after 3.5 years. Then he got a note from Jezebel saying, "I'm going to get you. And what you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you." And what did Elijah do? This mighty man of God. What did he do? He ran. And when he got into that cave, God appeared to him and said, "What are you doing here? Did I send you here?" Famine, he sent Elijah to the brook Cherith and he fed him there. And when the brook dried up, he sent them to the widow of Zarephath. And they, the widow and Elijah and the widow's son, ate from that little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. But now he's there. And God says, I didn't send you here. How did you get here? This isn't my thoughts for you. This isn't the steps I had planned for your life. Why are you here? Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble and we say, how come, God? Why did this happen to me, God? God said, I didn't send you here. What are you doing here? See, if we had been following, if we had been listening to his Twitter, if we'd been on his Facebook page, we would have known where he wanted us to be. Amazing. Amazing. He says, I will fill your mouth with words to say. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words, thus saith the Lord, kind of words. The discernment of spirits, words of encouragement, words of life, words as the Spirit gives utterance, kind of words. You know, one of the reasons God made tongues the initial physical evidence of the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that all of a sudden we're speaking words we don't know, we didn't plan, we didn't think about, but the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gives his utterance, we're hearing the words here and we're speaking them. He wanted us to know, if we'll yield ourselves to him, he will speak through us. Not always in tongues, sometimes in our language, English, see. He said, I will fill your mouth. I'll fill your mouth. Some of you are afraid to witness, afraid to testify, afraid to speak to someone because you, I don't know what to say. He said, I will fill your mouth. Listen, I've been in situations when I'm preaching, sometimes when I'm in a council, notice what you're saying. That's really good. And what is it? It's the Holy Spirit giving me utterance, speaking through me. Wow. He said he'd do that. Bring it back to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit is wanting to share with you all day long the thoughts and ideas and the plans of the Lord Jesus for your life. He said, go and I'll go with you. He said, as I have been sent, so send I you. Yes, heaven is always communicating, always sending signals, seeking ears to hear. The scripture says, then anyone who has ears to hear, hear. But if we are to have ears to hear, we must position ourselves to hear. Back in the old day, most of you young people know nothing about this, and you'll laugh at this. But we had those rabbit ears on our television sets. And depending on what channel, it wasn't that difficult. We usually only had three channels. But depending on what channel, you had to have that antenna turned. Every channel had a position for the antenna to work right. If you didn't get it right, it was fuzzy and stuff. And sometimes we even put tin foil on them, and we did all kinds of different weird things to get that antenna to just be right. See? And then my brother-in-law, he got an antenna on the roof, and he got it wasn't just one that was stationary, but he got a thing that he could position it, and you could turn the thing in the house, and it would turn that antenna. And so depending on the channel again, you would turn that just a little bit so that it would, yeah, that was before satellites. I don't know what it was doing. Yeah, I was picking it just out of the air, but why it had to, I don't know. Even today, I guess the satellite dish has to be. And you can let this battery run down. See? And get weak. And all of a sudden, you don't have a signal. Or you can look and see how many bars you have left on your battery. And how many bars you have and how strong the signal is. Jesus sought out the Father. So we must seek the Lord. Prayer and the study of the Word, Bible studies and church services and Christian fellowship, those are all charging our batteries. Those are all positioning ourselves so that we can have ears to hear. At times Jesus had to withdraw himself from the distractions, and so we must withdraw from the distractions of the world, from the cares of this life, from worldly influence, even from the interruption of your phone. It's okay to turn this off so you can talk to the Lord. We must become a friend and a follower. Jesus said his friends, his followers, always hear his voice. Did you hear me? He said his friends, his followers always hear his voice. Out of all the voices out there, out of all those things that are trying to talk to you, the voice of the Lord ought to be truer and clearer and stronger than any other voice. We can access his Facebook if we are on the list of his friends. I think it's probably worse than not accepting a friend on one of these things. What would be worse is defriending someone. We were dealing, the district leadership, we were dealing with a pastor who was being a little difficult. And he defriended the superintendent because he didn't want the superintendent to be able to look on his Facebook. See the stuff he was saying. To read his blog. To hear about his thoughts. Sometimes we defriend the Lord. We don't want him to be in our thoughts. We don't want him to see our thoughts and to know what we're doing, to follow us. The author of the Bible study that was real popular a few years back, maybe some of you took it, read the book. If you haven't, you ought to. It's a good book. It was entitled Knowing God. He said, if we want to know the will of God for our lives, this thing revolutionized my thinking about knowing the will of God. Because he said, if you want to know what the will of God is for your lives, discover what God is doing and then get involved. A lot of people don't find out what God is doing until he's been doing it a long time. And suddenly they're saying, you know what God is doing? And they said, well, you didn't know that? He's been doing that for quite a while now. Find out what God is doing and then say, I want to be part of that. You see, he wants to show us what he is doing so that we can be doing it too. That's what Jesus said. The Father shows me what he's doing and then I do it. He wants to give us his words to say. He wants to fill our thoughts with his thoughts. God is still speaking to mankind today. Do you have ears to hear? Someone just sent me a message. How about that? It was the superintendent. I told him that you had a candidate, and he just sent me back. He said, "That sounds great," he said. Praise the Lord. Do you have ears to hear? Are you eagerly seeking his face? Are you doing all you can do to position yourself to hear the voice of God? Are you humbling yourself before him in obedience to live and do and speak only as he commands and leads and shows? I've discovered some handy tools on my computer and on my cell phone. Even on the landline when I still had it, we had caller ID. And I almost hesitate to tell you I did this, but I did. We could look and see who was calling and decide whether we wanted to ignore it or not. On my computer, I can delete. On my cell phone, I can erase. At times, spiritually, I do the same thing. I wonder how often we click delete when God is trying to communicate. Or remind me later. Or just let it go into voicemail. I'll deal with it sometime after a while. I wonder how often we click ignore when God is sending us a command, sending us his word on one of the issues of life, showing us the steps he prepared for us. And we're saying, "I'm going to do it myself, God." Ever deal with little children? When they first learn how to eat or do whatever, they want to do it themselves. And at first we think, well, that's really cute. They're really grown up, but we'd rather help them because we're going to avoid a mess. I want to do it myself. He's saying, here's how I would do it. You want to do it the way I would do it? Let me show you how I do it. I'm not sure if all the shorthand or text speak, but God's word is a continual conversation to us. There is the logos of the word, the written word, the unchangeable. There is the rhema of his word, an illumination of a specific word for us today, for our situation, a revelation. The light goes on. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. And just reading it through in a systematic way. And the word, the passage for today, sometimes it, has that been here all the time? I don't think I've ever seen that before. Or, here I am in a situation and I read the regular passage for today, not skip through the page and, a lot of people do that. They want to, what's God saying? So they go, I don't think that's very healthy. I think in your regular devotional life, you'll be surprised how often the word for today is a word for today. And the rhema, God taking that word and making it alive for you today. You see, the Word of God is a living document. It speaks to us today. It's amazing. Or there's an illumination in my moment, in real time. Let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us today. Let's hear, let's seek to hear, let's fine-tune our reception. Does God call you friend? Are you on his list of followers? When God has an assignment, can he trust you? There was a man one day carrying a pitcher of water. We don't know his name, but he's in the Bible. And they wanted to know where they should have what would become the Last Supper. And Jesus said, you'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water, follow him. Wow, just an ordinary, everyday kind of thing for that guy. He probably doesn't even know that he's in the Bible. But God could count on him. Wow. They followed him. There was a gal that was giving her animals a drink of water from the well, and there was a stranger there with a camels, and she said, can I? And she gave, and she became one of those critical women in the Bible, in the chain of God's seed. Philip was sent to Samaria in the middle of a revival, God turning a city upside down. God says to him, I got someplace else for you. And Philip might have said, oh yeah, a bigger city? No, I want you out in the wilderness. There's a man, one man, a foreigner. I want you to tell him about me. An assignment. If God needs someone to knock on the door, send a card, make a phone call, send an email, speak to a neighbor, bake a cake, can he count on you to hear? He knows that you will be in tune to him, that he can use you. When God has a secret, a revelation, can he share it with you? He said, Abraham is my friend. I should tell him of my plans. A man was out for a walk one day, and he was just walking down the street, and God said, I want you to go into that house, knock on the door. He walked by. You mean that house, God? I don't even know who lives there. I don't really. Yes, I want you to go. And so he said, all right. He went and he knocked on the door, and someone answered. And the man said, he was shaking. And he said, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm a follower of Jesus. And he told me to stop and knock on your door. And now the man at the door started to shake. And he said, I just said to God, if you are God, send somebody to me or I'm going to take my life. He said, life had become too much, too hard. He said, I felt so alone and that no one cared, no one understood. And I said, God, if you're God, send somebody. He said, I just said that. And I heard you knocking. God is speaking. Are you listening? God wants to use you. He wants to change your day. He wants to change your life. He wants to change the lives of the people around you. He's got secrets to reveal to you. The things he's going to do, he wants to show you first. What a marvelous invention. What are they going to come up with next? I don't know. But I know this. speaking. He wants to speak to you and me. We're never, not a second of the day, outside of his thoughts. He's thinking about you. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's wanting to show it to you. He knows the steps he's prepared for you, and he wants to show you. He wants to use you. Father, what a marvelous, good, loving, all-knowing God you are. We're amazed at you. What mighty things you want to do, and you want to show them to me so that I might be part of it. Forgive me, Lord, for letting life bring so much static that I can't hear clearly your direction and your commands, your assignments. Forgive me, Lord, for being so timid and so afraid. Help me, Lord, to humble myself and surrender myself and position myself so close to you that I can even hear your heartbeat. And that I'll be quick to respond. My ears will be in tune to hear. And I'll be quick to respond, that I'll run to obey, that you might be glorified in my life. Thank you, Jesus. I pray over this church, Lord, even as we have prayed over the search committee, and they have heard. I pray this church will hear. I pray that the potters will hear. And Lord, that your will be done for this moment in this church concerning a new pastor. And that together as a church, pastor and leadership and pew member, together as a church, this church will hear what the Lord is saying. They'll see what the Father is doing and they'll be part of it. They'll hear the assignments, and they will run to obey, and you will be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me this morning.